This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
And Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent here to tell us what the Holy Father said, part of his catechesis and the latest news from Rome and the Vatican. I forgot what the name of the inside venue for the general weekly audience is, where today the Holy Father, in addition to talking about the Psalms, was talking about the rising COVID-19 numbers in Europe.
Right, John, you got it right. It's the Paul VI Audience Hall.
That's it.
And the reason that the audience is being held there is not only because we have a bit of chilly weather here, but not too bad. But it is indeed, as you mentioned, because of the COVID situation. Now, that meant that the Holy Father sat on the main stage area, and he did not actually walk through the crowd, which would be his custom, even if the audiences were held in that audience hall. He explained that it was simply a safety precaution, and he invited everyone there to acknowledge each other, to, from a safe distance, turn to each other and give a little head nod or a bow. And in the meantime, he continued that catechesis on prayer on the Psalms, and in fact, concluding that today. Now, he spoke about the Psalms as something that brings all the world together in prayer. He called it a collective prayer because it's for all of us and it's by all of us. And it can lead all of us to really have an understanding and appreciation for the transcendent and for the holy fear of the Lord. So he went on to say that it's prayer that prevents us from venturing into what he called life in a predatory and voracious manner. But he said we have to be careful because prayer, it's not a sedative. It's not meant to alleviate the anxieties in our lives, but instead it makes us responsible. For example, like in the Our Father teaches us to forgive others as we are forgiven. So he said that prayer should change us because if we pray so many rosaries, then gossip about others, or if we have resentment towards others or hate, then our prayer is what he called artificial. Instead, it should lead us to respect our brothers and our sisters and to recognize that the human person is an image of God. Not to recognize that, well, he said that is a sacrilege. It's an abomination. And he said that very often, people engage in what he called an atheism of practice. So it's an everyday atheism, he said, where we say, okay, I believe in God, but then when it comes to dealing with our brothers and our sisters, we remain distant or we're hateful. He says, this is an atheism of practice. God doesn't support it, he says, because we have to remember that anyone who does not honor the divine image in others is what he called a repudiation. So we pray especially for that grace to honor that divine image, John.
Very powerful words from the Holy Father, wrapping up his catechesis on the Psalms. Ashley Nerona, live from Rome this morning at 27 after, here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Of course, inside, because of the weather, it's a little cool in Rome with the Paul VI Audience Hall and the Holy Father talking about the rise of COVID-19 in Europe, as we're seeing that rise in some 41 states across the United States here. And more Swiss guards have now tested positive for COVID. This is kind of scary. What's happening?
Yes, John. Now it's a total of 11 Swiss guards who have tested positive. Now, just 15 days ago, 36 new Swiss guards were sworn in at the Vatican. Now, you may recall that ceremony, I typically report on that in May because that is when the anniversary of the guards saving the life of Pope Clement VII during the Great Sack of Rome in 1527. That's when it occurred. But due to COVID, that ceremony was pushed back. And this is, of course, when the new guards swear to protect the life of the Pope, even at the cost of their own. And now, sadly, just 15 days later, 11 of the guards have tested positive. It's not clear if they're actually symptomatic. Of course, the guards live in very close proximity. They live in a barracks, which is behind Vatican walls. So it's a situation in which the virus could easily spread. The guards who are positive, of course, have been isolated from the others. And in the meantime, just yesterday, my husband John and I were in Nanterre, Switzerland. We were at the only Swiss Guard Museum in the world. And we had the chance to visit our little godson there in Switzerland. His daddy is a retired Swiss guard. And the museum is a gathering of memorabilia of guards from over the decades. So it has all kinds of interesting letters and photos inside. It even has a Porsche that once belonged to a Swiss guard, which is kind of fun. And you can see those famous red, gold, and blue uniforms there. You can see the helmets up close, and even can test how heavy those famous halberds are, those medieval instruments that the guards hold when they're standing on duty in certain locations. Those weigh about 10 pounds. And one of the most interesting particular parts of the museum is that when you arrive in the town of Nanterre by train and look up in the direction of the museum, which is on the side of a mountain, you actually see a mini St. Peter's Basilica on the mountain. It's made of wood and it's screen printed, and it's just to denote that that's where the museum is, and it reminds us that we're never far from the heart of our faith. But in the meantime, as those case numbers continue to rise in Italy, we're having more and more testing. So they're calling it a case-demic. It's not a surprise. But in the meantime, the number of hospitalizations remains quite low, and the death toll is quite low by the grace of God, John.
You said that you're with your husband, John, up in Switzerland yesterday. With COVID-19 on the rise in Europe, what's travel like between countries?
Yes. So you're required to do temperature checks at various spots. And so that is just that's just part of the thing. And then after passing that, you can continue on your way. So it was pretty simple. And yeah, they definitely are doing their best to make it possible to keep life continuing on as normal as possible right
sure.
now.
Are you seeing people with masks and social distancing? Yes. Is that happening there?
Yes, it is required, actually. It's required in Italy. It is now required even for outdoor. But otherwise, it depended, because we were in both France and Switzerland, and each country had its own set of rules. So depending on which side of the border we were on, we were paying close attention to learning the new rules. But people are definitely being conscious of social distancing. In fact, on the train, they're in the seats of four, the sections of four, they're only selling two seats per section. So they're trying to keep people spread apart, which means that you have to book your ticket far enough in advance. So there really are a lot of details to think about in order to make travel possible.
Are you seeing as much pushback about wearing masks as we're seeing here in the United States, Ashley?
Well, for example, in Italy, there was recently a protest about masks and people citing a lot of the scientific studies, including a decree that was put out by three doctors from Stanford, Harvard, and Oxford, saying that the masks are actually preventing people from getting T cell immunity. So there's a lot of, yes, there's pushback. There's people on both sides talking about this issue. Nobody really knows what the right thing to do is. Everybody's doing their best.
Right, exactly. And that's all we can do, is just simply, you know, do our best again for the common good. Ashley Nerona, live from Rome here. The Pope's General Weekly Audience at 28 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Tomorrow, the feast day of Pope St. John Paul II. And I know there are feasts all the time in Rome. What's happening
yes.
today, and how are they preparing to get ready for tomorrow's feast?
Well, tomorrow for the feast of Pope St. John Paul II, there's going to be special masses all day long at his tomb, which is located inside of St. Peter's Basilica. So it's such a gift to have the opportunity to go and pray there any time of day. So I certainly will be doing that and remembering the intentions of our Relevant Radio family there. And today is the feast of Blessed Karl, who was the last emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. He was made emperor in 1916 during the First World War. He reigned only very briefly, but during that time, he made an amazing mark as a true hero of our faith, because he strived to bring peace between any factions who were at odds. He created many human services for the welfare of his people. He took pains to lead his people spiritually as well. He was an amazing man of piety and prayer. For example, every day he would pray morning and evening prayer. He would receive the Eucharist daily. He would pray the Veni Sanctus Spiritus after receiving the Eucharist. And he instilled that importance of piety into his eight children. And as head of state, he prayed with his soldiers, and he made Saint Michael the Archangel the head and the patron of the military. So just an amazing example in the way he gave to the poor, the needy, even at his own personal expense from his own need, he continued to give. He had a steadfast love for his wife, Zita. So they're an amazing example of Christian marriage. And he was courageous and willing as a statesman to guide his decisions according to the truths of the church. And best of all, no matter what tribulations came his way, he would say, "Lord, thy will be done." So today, to celebrate, my husband John and I will attend a Holy Mass at the Church of Santa Maria dell'Anima in Rome. Now, this church is very special because in the 15th century, this became the national church of the whole Holy Roman Empire in Rome. And since then, it's known as the German National Church. So there's going to be a special Mass there, and we'll, especially through the intercession of Blessed Carl, again, have the opportunity to pray for our entire Relevant Radio family.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Ashley, very often when we talk about you and your husband, John, we mention the Truth and Beauty Project. And I know when that was first introduced, we were talking about what the Truth and Beauty Project is, but we've got so many new Relevant Radio listeners. Talk a little bit about this theological formation that you and John have put together for visitors to Rome at truthandbeautyproject.com.
You know, John, my husband John and I call Rome a living classroom because there's so many truths of our faith that can be learned there. And so what we do is we invite any group of six or more to come to Rome. And while here, we combine history and art and anthropology and philosophy and everything. We mix it all together to teach what it means to be a Christian, to show the roots of our faith, to really give a strong sense of identity. And with that, we have found that it's been life-changing for people who have participated. We do it through tours and art and discussions and food and fabulous speakers that we bring in. And it's just an amazing experience. We call it an immersion experience. And that's indeed what it is. And we hope and pray that hearts will be immersed in the truths of our faith and fall in love more deeply with the Lord because of it, John.
Amen. Amen to that. Is tourism up in Rome? Is it as, I know it's not where it normally was, but what are you seeing in terms of those who are visiting Rome?
Right. Well, you know, Rome, Italy opened on the 3rd of June, technically. That is to Schengen region. So many other European countries were able to pass borders at that time. And so we did for a short time, maybe a couple of months this summer, we saw a bit of an uptick, but it was all European travelers. And at this point, they've all gone home. So really, it's kind of an amazing moment to be in Rome because there's no lines for anything. You could just walk into museums. As far as when tourism is going to pick up, obviously, anybody's guess, but people are speculating that maybe by Easter time, we'll finally start to see some folks back in the heart of the church in Bella Roma.
Ashley, is there much notice of the U.S. elections and chat about that over there?
Yes. Yeah, that's a big conversation. In fact, my husband and I were on an airplane recently and the stewards, all they wanted to know from us was who we were voting for and why. So it's definitely in the consciousness here. People are asking questions. They want to understand more. You know, the U.S., because of its position, is talked about. It's talked about throughout the world. So, yeah, it's definitely a hot topic of conversation right now, Glenn.
Ashley Narona with the latest news from Rome and the Vatican. As we were mentioning, Ashley and her husband, John, have founded the Truth and Beauty Project, and that provides Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. And the website for that, truthandbeautyproject.com, truthandbeautyproject.com. Ashley, as always, thank you. Our best to John. Talk next week.
I look forward to it. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.